The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The gradual we heard this morning comes from Psalm 34 in the 9th and 19th verses. King David writes, "Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Those who fear the Lord lack nothing, for the Lord delivers them. That's the way it was for Peter, about whom we heard last week, when the water on which he had been walking gave way and he began to sink into the sea. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and took Peter and took a hold of him. Jesus helped him immediately. The Lord delivered Peter and saved him from drowning in the depths. Today we hear of a woman, a Canaanite by ancestry, who implored Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." What sort of a plea is this? In addressing Jesus as the Lord and calling him the Son of David, she's not using unfamiliar terms. The first Christian creed was simply, "Jesus is Lord." It confessed that Jesus is not only a man, but is truly God as well. Addressing Jesus as Lord, then, identifies him as the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Calling Jesus the Son of David connects him back to the promise God made to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. David had decided that he would build a house for the Lord in Jerusalem. But the Lord said no. Rather, he said, "I will make you a house, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." To call Jesus the Son of David identifies him as the Messiah whom God had promised from David's line, the one in whom God would keep all of the promises that he had made to Israel. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, God of David," the woman cried, identifying Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. With her her cry, she makes a powerful confession of who Jesus is. Yet these words are strange coming from her mouth, for she is a foreigner. She isn't a daughter of Israel, isn't a member of God's covenant people. She's a Canaanite, a descendant of the idolatrous heathen who lived in the land before Israel, whom God dispossessed so that Israel could have it, that as their promised land. Why would she expect anything good from Jesus? A part of the answer, at least, must be that she had heard about him. Perhaps she had heard how he had fed the 5,000 from just 5 loaves and 2 fish, with 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Since she approaches Jesus about her daughter who was severely oppressed by a demon, it's reasonable to suppose that she had heard of his authority and compassion, how he had healed the sick, cleansed those with leprosy, and set free those held in bondage to evil spirits. She believed Jesus could help her. More than that, she believed that he would help. Thus she cried out to him for mercy. "Have mercy on me, Lord," is the cry of a beggar needing bread. It doesn't claim any merit. Quite to the contrary, it relies entirely on the goodwill of the one to whom the plea is being made. It's a petition for relief, a cry that hardship would be taken away, that the burden would be lifted. We hear it again and again in the Gospels, and it's also our plea in the liturgy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Again and again, when people approach Jesus with these words, that's what he does. He has mercy. He grants them what they request from him. But not here. The woman comes to Jesus crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he does not answer her a word. I don't know what I would have done if I had been in her place. But this woman doesn't give up. Like the importunate widow of the parable, she follows after Jesus, continually crying for help. The disciples beg Jesus, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." There are a couple of ways to understand their words. It's possible that the disciples were simply asking Jesus to demand that she stop following them. It's also possible, though, that what they intended was for Jesus to grant her request so that she would finally leave them alone. This second possibility seems to fit best with Jesus' response to his disciples. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." This matches his instructions earlier when he sent them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus still hasn't said even a word to the woman. As he answered his disciples, though, the woman may well have overheard. If she had, this would seem to be a crushing blow. If Jesus insists that he is sent only to the descendants of Jacob, what hope could there be for her? Worse than merely not responding, now he seems intentionally to slam the door in her face. Can you imagine Jesus speaking such a strong word to you? Of course, most of us don't have to imagine. I can't trace my ancestry back to Abraham through his grandson Israel. If that's true of you, Jesus' words do apply as much to you as they did to that Canaanite woman. He said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amazingly, though, even this doesn't cause the woman to despair. She came and knelt before Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. Like Israel himself, she would not let the Lord go unless he blessed her. Finally, Jesus speaks directly to this woman, saying, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And with this, the woman knows she will receive mercy, knows that Jesus will help her. How so? If she is a dog, she reasons, she has a place in the house. Not at the table, to be sure, but close enough, under the table. And that means she has access to the crumbs that will naturally fall to the floor. She agrees with Jesus. Yes, Lord, for even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Concerning these words, Martin Luther wrote, thus this woman overcomes Christ with his own words, and by accepting the position of a dog, she obtains the privileges of a child. What can he say, the merciful, compassionate Jesus? Forced by his own words, he yields. Oh, that we would force him in a similar way. This is exactly what he wants us to do. By faith, this woman, this foreigner, receives blessing from the Lord. His salvation comes to her. His deliverance is revealed to her as Jesus commends her. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Her faith in Jesus' compassion is vindicated. Her daughter was healed instantly. And so it is also for you. You have no more merit than this woman, no basis for claiming that you deserve the Lord's help. Yet when you come to him for mercy, trusting that he will bless you, he will not send you away empty-handed. Now, to be sure, at times the Lord may test you, as he tested this woman, in order to exercise and strengthen her faith. But he does this only for the eternal good of those who come to him. The purpose is to refine and strengthen your trust in him. All of your sin, all of your guilt, all of your shame, all of this he already took on himself, bearing it to the cross. There Jesus endured silence in his greatest need, was utterly forsaken by his Father, forsaken for you, so that the Lord would never reject you. To relieve you of the burdens that continue to weigh you down, to forgive the sin that continues to persist in your life, Jesus invites you to come to him often, here at the table, to receive not just crumbs, but his true body, the sacrifice for your sin, and his true blood which he shed to cleanse and sanctify you. Forgiveness, life, salvation. These are the gifts that he gives to us. The blessings he bestows as you hear his word of absolution and receive from the altar via the hands of pastor and elder the price of your redemption. As often as you fail and fall, so often he would have mercy on you again and do for you as you desire, washing and cleansing you from every spot and blemish. Before we close, there's one more thing, one more promise to receive from this gospel. Like this woman, you too may be greatly burdened by concern for another. Someone you love who is sick, or worse, who has been captivated by demonic teachings. What can you do? Where can you find relief from such burdens? Though this woman's daughter could not do anything to deliver herself from severe oppression of the demon, the woman didn't have to resign herself to this tragedy. She could do what her daughter couldn't. She could bring her daughter to Jesus, and she did. She carried her piggyback to the Lord, as it were, by her prayers, by her cry for help. And in response to her prayers, the Lord delivered her daughter. So don't despair. When you intercede on behalf of another, when you pray that the Lord would have mercy on you and restore your loved one, the Lord hears such prayers and has mercy, delivering from death, delivering through death to eternal life. So then, as David counsels, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and you are among them, righteous through faith in Christ. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord has delivered and is delivering you for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting.